What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 39. Is chocolate milk really that good? For January 16th, 2013. I don't know what I was going to say there. 2013. All right, so again, our special guest is registered dietitian Dr. Penny Wilson for the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute. All right, so again, that's Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute. It's a tongue twister all in itself. All right, so I am, of course, your host, Jeremy Jackson. We got quite a few people. There's some pretty cool stuff here today. We have Dr. Wilson has an intern, and she thought highly enough of our podcast to bring her intern, Jessica. So she's kind of in the back over there. You shouldn't be able to see her. The always popular Bubba Wilson is here, too, to kind of just cheer us on and, you know, show his support for the wonderful Dr. Wilson. And then, of course, my students.
Susie, Claudia,
Lorena,
Leslie,
Priscilla,
Karen,
Monica.
All right, and then we always have the ways to connect with us, the todaysmeet.com/sportsmedicinebroadcast, the Ustream chat feature. Hopefully, I think Susie's watching that as well. And then I think if you text, or I mean if you tweet it, then it should pull it into the Ustream. Again, we're still working out all the bugs there. But all the links to that stuff are on our website, www.1.passingisd.org/phs/athletic training. So before we get started, real quick, this past weekend we had G-Hats, and that's why I'm wearing my shirt, because right now, I don't know, can you see my logo there? There we go. All right, so G-Hats is actually sponsoring CEU events, or CEUs for athletic trainers that are a member of G-Hats. So if you are a paid member of the Greater Houston Athletic Trainer Society, you can earn CEUs for listening to what Dr. Wilson has to say to you today. All right? Fantastic. So G-Hats is awesome. And then I was talking to John Harmon, one of the board members for CEU, and he said he loves listening to this. He'll listen to it in his office, and some of the other athletic trainers are like, what are you listening to? But you know, he said he just likes listening. So for me, that's really cool. For the students, there are other professionals that enjoy listening to this. I mean, these are people that have been in the business longer than me, and they still enjoy listening to you guys talk. So just want to let you guys know that. So John, thanks for your constructive criticism or your compliments. And then now we're going to get to Dr. Penny Wilson real quick. We already talked about where she works, Memorial Hermann, Ironman, Sports Medicine Institute. If you've been in the profession about 7 years, has anything changed since last time we talked about the marathons, half marathons, anything like that?
No, it's still pretty much the same. I've signed up to do another half marathon March 3rd in the Woodlands, so I need to start training.
All right. So my wife and I have talked about doing a 5K, because neither of us are runners, but we want to kind of do something to, you know, so we spend time together and things like that. And we're talking about doing the color run. You heard of that?
Oh, those are supposed to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and so she wants to do that, so you get plastered with color. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll do it to support you. I'm not a huge runner, but I love you, and so we'll go for it. So eventually, we're gonna sign up for one of those. So
you'll have to keep me posted on that.
Definitely will. Definitely will. All right, so in case you didn't catch that was Dr. Penny Wilson, and we're welcoming her to the show. All right, so of course, we're talking to a registered dietitian, so let's see what you guys ate for breakfast. All right, so this morning I was doing pretty good. I had a bowl of, like, Special K cereal, 2% milk, and then I had a banana. And then I'm certainly not complaining, but Bill brought me a sausage cheese kolache this morning, about 9:30 or something like that. He had to run out, so he brought me. So I kind of ruined the good, healthy breakfast with the sausage cheese kolache, but I'm certainly not complaining because that was good. It was fresh, hot out the oven. Mm. All right, so Claudia?
What
did you have for breakfast?
I didn't have anything. I had cough drops.
Cough drops. Fantastic.
Lots of homework.
Varsity girls soccer goalie. Cold outside, sick. Didn't eat breakfast. Good thing we got Dr. Wilson here to give us a little education on that one. Lode?
Water. I don't eat breakfast.
All right, so we're batting 1,000. Is exactly why we want to talk to her. All right, Dr. Wilson, what did you have for breakfast?
I had a smoothie with a cup of cherries. I put a little bit of light coconut milk in it, some water, protein powder, and spinach.
All right, that sounds like a home run of a healthy, powerful breakfast. Lots of antioxidants, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later. Leslie?
A biscuit.
Just a plain biscuit, no gravy, no sausage. Oh, the school breakfast? So was it just a plain biscuit, or did it have other stuff in?
It has like a
All right, so then you had some sausage biscuit
and orange juice.
Okay. Okay, on that, before we go to anything, at the new HEB right here on Fairmont, they have a fresh squeezed orange juice. Oh, my goodness. Fresh squeezed orange juice is not anything like what you buy out of, you know, the Minute Maid or Tropicana or, you know, those commercial ones. It is nothing like it. It is unbelievable how much better fresh squeezed orange juice is. So if you get the chance. Now, it's expensive. It's like $6 or $8 a gallon or something like that. So, you know, you got to be willing to fork over a little bit of cash. But fresh squeezed orange juice is ridiculously good.
But you can also buy oranges cheap because a lot of times I'll have like 10 for a dollar or something and just squeeze your own.
All right. There you go. So would you recommend a juicer for that or just...
No, I mean, if you're making a lot, then maybe a juicer. But if you're just going to do a glass or two, because then you don't...
Twist.
Yeah, because then you don't have to worry about it going bad. If you buy that gallon, then don't drink all of it. You can just do the little hand twist thing and have a little bit of juice.
Well, at my house, there's not a chance. I think when we have it, my wife drinks it with at least 2 out of the 3 meals a day and maybe as a snack, too. So fresh squeezed orange juice doesn't go bad at our house. So, all right, Priscilla...
I had waffles with orange juice.
All right, that's good. Well, anything on top of the waffles, like peanut butter or syrup or anything?
Just syrup.
Syrup. Okay, not bad, not bad. Karen?
I didn't have anything.
Nothing? No, not even water?
No.
Have you had anything this morning? Any water? Any candy? So it is now 10:20, and you woke up at 6, 5? What time did you wake up?
5:45.
And you haven't had anything in your mouth from then for the last 5 hours almost.
Actually, longer than that, unless she was eating her sleep. I mean.
All right. Fantastic. And Monica.
Hot Cheetos and McDonald's.
This breakfast?
Yeah.
What kind of McDonald's do you have?
The big breakfast.
All right. Somebody was manhandling the mic. Was that you?
So right, that's so like pancakes and sausage and eggs?
Yeah. That's the first time I've eaten breakfast in like 2 months or a month.
And how do you feel this morning?
Hungry.
All right, so this is an excellent survey of what high school kids eat for breakfast. I don't know that there was a day when I was in school that I didn't eat breakfast. Like seriously, if I don't eat breakfast, my day is just not right. Just not right. So, all right. So before we get back to that, one of the questions we had from the last time I talked to Dr. Wilson was about supplements. And so last time we talked to Dr. Wilson, I was not taking vitamins. So I've currently started taking the silver vitamins for the 50 plus, because that's what she said. She told me I was old. And needed some old man vitamins.
That's right.
But I don't take them every day. Usually I'll try and take them like every other day. What are your thoughts? Like, should I take them, be consistent, take them every morning? Does it matter if I miss a day? Or what are your thoughts on that?
I would say if you're taking it every day or every other day, you're probably okay. The research on taking a multivitamin is, there was some stuff that came out last year that said it's not good. There's some stuff that came out this year saying it's good. So, you know, it's really, we're not real sure if taking a multivitamin really helps. But I think if you're somebody who's physically active, going ahead and doing that can be a good thing. Athletes do have higher needs. We believe athletes have higher needs than regular people. So, but if you're going to do it every day, every other day, is kind of where I'd fall. I wouldn't necessarily do it every third day or when I think about it.
All right. So basically I need to get better at taking my vitamin regularly.
Tape it to your antiperspirant.
See, it's sitting right in front of it. It's sitting right, like, there's my sink, my vitamins, my deodorant. I'm like, well, I need to take it whenever I've just eaten something, because I think it says take with food, I think.
Probably, but I'd rather see, if you're going to take it when you're going to take it. And not
forget.
You know, when you think, yeah, because otherwise you forget.
Okay. All right, so good. On the recommendation of Dr. Wilson, hopefully I will begin taking a regular multivitamin. All right, so in that, when I heard you talk at the Minute Maid conference this year, you talked about supplements, that including even vitamins, being contaminated with other ingredients because they're not like pharmaceutical grade or something like that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Sure. Unlike medicines, which have to be tested and approved, and they have to do all these things to be sure that they have what they say they have in them, and they don't have contaminants in them, supplements aren't the same way. Supplements don't go through that same kind of testing. They're supposed to follow, you know, good manufacturing processes to keep them from getting contaminated, but not all supplement companies are ethical and do those things. So if you're taking a protein powder because you want to put on a whole bunch of lean mass and they put some steroids in there and you start putting on a whole bunch of lean mass because of the steroids, not because of the protein, you're going to say, wow, this stuff is awesome, and buy more of it and tell your friends to buy more of it. So it's contaminated with something that's not on the label that could cause a positive test. And some research that was done by the International Olympic Committee, it's older research, it's over 10 years old now, has shown that, you know, 20-25% of the products, at least that they ordered and tested, could cause a positive test, were contaminated in an amounts that could cause a positive doping test. The reason that's important for high school athletes is if you want to play at the NCAA level, so if you want to play in college and you're taking something like that, you can test positive and lose your NCAA eligibility, and it's happened. There was a football player in California who got caught, and I say caught, and that sounds negative. He was taking something and didn't know that it had a banned substance in it. The NCAA rules of prohibited substances are really hard to deal with and understand. Some things are straightforward, some things aren't. And I'm on a listserv with a whole bunch of collegiate dietitians, and they'll go back and forth about is something prohibited or not. And it depends on the product. So, but yeah, you've got to be really careful when you're taking dietary supplements, particularly if you're in a position to be tested for eligibility.
All right, what's that? You got something on there? What do you mean? Is it just
the
choppy?
Minicam?
I guess not switching?
Yeah, it's not responding.
All right, well, I mean, you can try and close it out. Yeah, so if you're watching live, then apparently our live stream is frozen, so I thought with the switching of positions, that would help that out, but you can try and close it and open it back up to minicam. Software, and then go from there. But the Ustream is still going on. Is there anybody watching on Ustream? Anybody commenting?
No.
No. All right, so if you're listening on Ustream, you can comment on Ustream, or you can comment on the Today's Meet and tell us how the sound is. Make sure that we're sounding okay there, and then Susie will make that adjustment or talk to us there. All right, so continuing on, I think.
Tell us about pixie dusting and supplements and vitamins.
So pixie dusting is where they say that they're using an expensive ingredient, like a particular kind of creatine or a particular ingredient that's really expensive, and what they do is they only put a teeny tiny amount in there, and then they put a whole bunch of other fillers in it. So they can say, oh, we have this really expensive creatine, but what they don't tell you usually is how much is in there, and that, you know, they've actually put a whole bunch of filler around it, so you're not really going to get the benefit of it.
All right.
Thank you.
What are your thoughts on Whole Foods?
The grocery store or foods?
Let's go with the foods.
I thought so, but I just thought I'd ask. I am a fan of Whole Foods, of eating, you know, we kind of call it close to the ground. So eating foods in the condition that they came when they came out of the ground. The closer you can get to that, the better you can be, the more healthy that eating is going to be, rather than all the stuff that's been processed and with labels. Our body has really evolved to handle real foods, and there are all these metabolic processes in there that are just very tightly run and have requirements that they need the things that are coming from those real foods. So, you know, if you think about it like a car, you have a real high performing race car. When I ask this and with guys, you know, they'll talk about Ferraris or Ducati. Ducati's a motorcycle, but, you know, Ferraris and those kind of things. And I'm saying, okay, you've got a Ferrari, and you put the really low test gasoline in it, is it going to run well? Is it going to run like that car is meant to run? Well, no. You know, if you put the wrong oil in it, is it going to run well? No. So it's the same thing with your body. Your body is a really high performance sports car. And if you put foods in it, you put low test foods in it, you know, candies, processed foods, then your body's not going to run as well as it could. Whole foods are really the high test, what you could consider your high test fuel. And again, all those metabolic processes in there, if you think a car running and all the things that happen in the car, and you put something in there that's not supposed to be in there. I have a friend who husband got a truck that was a flex fuel truck, and so he could put different kind of fuels in it. And he thought, oh, well, I'll try that with our car. And he put the wrong fuel in the car, and it ended up in the shop having to get cleaned out because that just didn't work. So, you know, our bodies developed to use food. And so we're putting things in it that are engineered. So think like a Coke. I mean, how many things on a Coca-Cola label can you read? Can you really say without having to sound it out? And so we're putting things that are engineered, chemically engineered, and chemicals and stuff in there that aren't meant to be there. And so those metabolic processes aren't running as efficiently as they could, just like the car that didn't get the gas that it needed isn't running as efficiently as it could. They're trying to deal with that stuff, but, you know, that's not what we were meant to eat. We were meant to eat whole foods, fruits, vegetables, the grains, the meats, those things.
All right, so I like the comment of close to the ground. And I know I've seen it other places, you know, it's where it's close to God made it as you can be. You know, I mean, obviously some things I don't think you can just eat straight up, but you never know. So close to the ground. So I like that comment a lot. I think I'm going to have to try and remember that. Because we just kind of started composting, and I know that you're not supposed to compost things that have been, like, fried and that kind of stuff because they're not close to the ground. So.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell us about the paleo diet?
Paleo diet is something that's getting a lot of press, and a lot of people are really starting to enjoy it. And, you know, I think the paleo diet works because it gets you eating whole foods, again, closer to the ground. You eat a lot of protein, a lot of fruits, a lot of vegetables. Now, there are two kind of camps in paleo. There's a pro-dairy camp and an anti-dairy camp. Personally, I'm okay with dairy, so it has some benefits that you can get from it. And then it really limits the starches, the grains, and rices and pastas, things like that. And so it definitely works. I have endurance athletes, though, and endurance athletes are the ones who need those starches because that gives them the fuel to do their workouts and to do their competitions, who they'll start a paleo diet, go out on a bike ride, and just bonk or run out of energy on their ride and have to call somebody to come get them or find a store and get a candy bar to get their carbs so that they can get back home. So paleo diet can be a good way to eat. But again, I would ask, is it something like all, quote, diets? Is it something that you can maintain long term? And not a lot of people really can maintain paleo long term.
All right, so yeah, that's something I definitely, like, I've looked into, you know, like, I think it's a good idea eating closer to the ground, but as far as some of the stuff I read, you know, I think I read on there that they said not eating like whole grains and nuts and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're anti-grain, they're anti-nut, and a lot of them are anti-dairy, and it's because, you know, our cavemen forebears didn't eat that kind of thing. So, you know, I don't necessarily agree with that. I'm a big fan of nuts. I love peanut butter. So, you know, I kind of pull back on some of that.
Now, of course, this is only pictures and drawings, but every caveman I've ever seen had, like, missing teeth, was, like, overweight, and as far as I know, they didn't live to, like, 60 years old. So I'm not 100% sure I'm sold on living like a caveman.
Yeah, and that's part of it. And there's actually, I can send you the links. I'll find them and send you the links. There's some really good discussions about dispelling some of the paleo, I don't want to say myths, but some of the things that they promote. But it can be a healthy way to eat. You just got to be sure that you're covering your nutritional bases.
All right. Well, thank you for that.
Can you elaborate on athlete is trying to perform well and maintain a low body weight?
Yeah, this is a really hard one. I see it in a lot of sports, particularly sports that are really body conscious. So my swimmers, you know, that for the guys, that Speedo doesn't hide much, you know, and even for the women in their short swim, in their swimsuits, there's not much room to hide anything. I see it in my endurance athletes as well, my runners and triathletes, you know, spandex just doesn't hide much. And so a lot of times they're really trying to perform at a high level and perform the best they can and lose weight or maintain a low body weight because they look at the pros and think, oh, I need to look like that. And most, you know, pro triathletes, for example, and pro runners, I mean, we just had the Houston Marathon. Those pro runners are tiny. They're just tiny. And most people aren't going to look like that. You know, there's no way I'm going to look like, you know, a lot of the pro triathletes. I just don't have that same body frame. And I carry a lot more muscle than most of them carry. So if you're really trying to perform well and maintain a low body weight, those two things don't work together very well. Because if you're maintaining a low body weight, you're not feeding your body what it needs in order to perform. You've got to be able to take in enough calories to do what you're asking it to do performance-wise. If you're trying to run or jump or whatever it is, swim, that you're trying to do, you've got to feed it. If one way to kind of know if you're not giving your body what it needs is, you know, if you're tired a lot. I had one swimmer who it was like, man, if he sat still for a couple minutes, he would go to sleep. You know, do you just not have much energy? Are you cold a lot because you're losing body fat and so you tend to be cold all the time? You know, could you be just not having good workouts and having to stop and sit on the sideline because you just don't have the energy to perform? So, you know, you really, if you're trying to perform at a high level, you've got to make a choice of, do I want to be an athlete or do I want the lower body weight? So you've really got to think about those two things. And high school athletes and collegiate athletes, women in particular, I get concerned when they start maintaining a low body weight because they can lose their menstrual cycle. And that's really cause for concern because it's the estrogen and some of the hormones in the menstrual cycle that allows you to build your skeleton and build your bones. And you get one shot to build a skeleton. And it's during those periods. And if you don't build it, you're not going to have it later. I've seen full body x-rays or MRIs of, you know, a young woman who had an eating disorder, you know, and like an 80-year-old woman. And if you didn't know the difference, just looking at their skeletons, you couldn't tell the difference between the two. So, you know, if you're working with somebody who's lost their period, that gets really, really concerning because you're worried about, you know, their skeleton and some of those things too. So
real quick, did you guys catch that? She said that an 80-year-old woman looked like a, what did you say? How old?
Was like, I want to say early 20s.
So like
female.
We'll just say 22-year-old female with an eating disorder. Their skeleton looked the same. Mm-hmm. That just because of the eating disorder.
Yeah.
So it wears your body down that much.
Yeah. Well, it's not necessarily that it wears it down that much. It's that the hormones aren't there to lay the bone down, to build the bone. So you end up with a skeleton that's got a whole bunch of holes in it because your body just wasn't able to build the bones. So it's not just calcium for bone building and vitamin D for bone building. It's also getting enough calories so that your body can make the hormones and have the signaling going on to do that.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of issues with athletes trying to maintain low body weights. You also see them starting, they'll get sick, they'll start getting injured, you know, they may start getting stress fractures, all sorts of different injuries coming on. So it's really something to be aware of, and it's really hard to address and hard to deal with because we see so many images that are just completely unrealistic. I've learned that any picture that I see in print or online, I just consider it a lie. I just consider that that's not how that person looks. They've photoshopped it. They've done stuff to it to make it, you know, not real. And the Dove campaign, have you seen those videos?
Right.
Yeah, I've got some really great videos. There's one where they show a lady, you know, showing up for her photo shoot, and then they film all the way through, and they do it with a super speed camera, and they show you start to finish what she looked like when she came through to what the billboard looked like. And they did stuff like, you know, made her neck longer and did this and shaded this and all the stuff. And so every time I see a picture now, it's just like, that's not real. And you know, did you guys see the Vogue with Lady Gaga on the cover?
Yeah.
That, do you realize how much that was photoshopped? No. Did you see the real picture and then the cover? Isn't that amazing?
She doesn't look the same. It's weird.
Yeah, she almost doesn't even, if you really stop and look at it, she almost doesn't look like a real human in
real life or in.
In real life. No, sorry, on the cover. With what they put on the cover, you just look at it and you think, there's just no way. And, I mean, they changed the color of the dress. They did all sorts of stuff. So pretty much anything I see in print, I'm like, that is not, you can't trust that that's what that person really looks like. And so all the media images, all the stuff that you see like that, you can't compare yourself to that because it's just, it's not real. They're lying to you.
I'll go ahead and throw a disclaimer. All of the photos on my website, on PHS Athletic Training there, none of them are photoshopped.
Maybe you need to put that on your website. None of these pictures have been photoshopped.
There you go. Maybe I should. So I don't think you can make me much prettier anyway, so.
What?
There's no point in photoshopping. So okay. real quick, we got, I want to take a second and... Claudia didn't eat breakfast here, right? So she's got soccer practice.
A lot
practice.
Of your girls didn't eat breakfast.
I know. But we got soccer practice this afternoon. It's going to be cold outside. So what do you think what would be a good way to, from this point, because we can't go backwards, from this point, what would be good for her to, you know, maybe eat for lunch, maybe eat as a snack, and eat when she gets home? Just looking at today from this point.
Yeah, so what are you planning to eat for lunch?
The lunch is gross. I don't really know.
So except you're...
It's like potatoes or fries, burgers. And the burgers are nasty. They're green.
Green burgers. Okay. What time's soccer practice?
2:30, 2:45.
What time's lunch?
In 20 minutes.
Okay. So... You know, I'd get something for lunch. I'd get something that's got some starch and some carbs in it. So if you could get some potatoes, I mean, even if you can get some fries, I'd do that. If you could get a hold of some nuts, if they have something that's got some protein in it, you know, sandwich, PBJ, something like that, that would work. And then, you know, I'd also say grab a chocolate milk or two. And if you like milk.
I like white milk.
You don't like chocolate milk? Do you like strawberry milk? You don't like the flavored milks. Okay.
But so I guess I can drink it.
Yeah, I'd still grab a milk or two. You know, potentially you could get one regular and one chocolate milk and just water it down a little bit. You know, mix them together so the chocolate isn't as strong. But with the chocolate, what I'm trying to do is get some more sugar in you, which, okay, for most people, I wouldn't be going for high sugar stuff. But for somebody who's going into a practice and didn't have breakfast, yeah, I want you to get that sugar. Because... what happens is, I think last time we talked about the glycogen stores in your muscles, the gas tanks in your muscles, and your liver, you have a storage form of sugar there. Well, you've been sleeping, you know, you slept for, what, 3 hours, 4 hours?
Four.
A whole 4 hours worth of sleep. And so that's the fuel, that and fat is what your body's using to fuel your body at night, because we still need calories even while we're sleeping. And so your body's been using that as well to fuel you until you eat, all morning until you eat. So you're emptying out those gas tanks in your muscles. And you go out and try and run and work out without eating much, and you're just going to – you're not going to feel good. You're not going to have a good workout. You're not going to perform well. So get some sugar, get some good starches, some good carbs. Starches are your potatoes and breads and things. And get those refilled so that when you hit the field, you're ready to go.
Thank you.
All right, so then from that, what would you recommend for breakfast tomorrow? Because Claudia's going to eat breakfast tomorrow.
Okay. What do you like for breakfast?
I like anything.
Yeah. I would say, you know, pretty much go for whatever you like. I have a lot of people who don't necessarily like breakfast food. I'm okay with having a sandwich for breakfast. I've had a period where I was having soup for breakfast, and I really liked it. My husband had kind of grossed him out because he didn't like the smell of beef soup in the morning, but it worked for me. So, you know, find something that works for you. If it's a PBJ or a turkey sandwich or, you know, the waffles somebody had earlier, the waffles with the orange juice. One of the things you want to really focus on is being sure, though, that you get some carbs, which fruits, vegetables, grain, that kind of thing. Some protein, so that could be meat, eggs. You could even, you know, do it with some nuts or peanut butter, nut butter like that. And a little bit of fat, which, you know, butter, your nuts cover both of those bases as well. And that's going to give your body what it needs to go and help keep you full a little longer as well. So mixing all three of those things. So I didn't give you specific recommendations, but like, you know, the biscuits that you had with sausage and cheese, that has all three of those in there. You've got the carbs from the biscuit, the protein and cheese give you the sausage and cheese give you the protein and fat. So something like that would work. If you get to school and haven't had breakfast, you can still grab one of those, you know, lunches, one of the breakfasts that they pass out here. And if you don't like everything, pick through and eat what you like, you know, but get something on your stomach.
Yeah, I really like that. That's better than, all right, you need to eat a sausage brisket every morning. That's just, well, if you like cold pizza, eat cold pizza, but it's better than nothing for 15 hours. So.
Yeah, because it is National Pizza Week.
Yep. And hopefully we can get to talking about that, because she talked about healthy pizzas on Twitter, which if you're watching the live stream, I believe it shows on the top of the screen when it shows Dr. Wilson, but she's at EAT, E-A-T, the number 4 performance, EAT for performance with a 4 being the number, so you can follow her. Lots of good stuff about eating healthy or the way the diet affects you. All right, so now that we know that Claudia hasn't eaten and she's going to go out to practice, you might have addressed this earlier when we talked about the 80-year-old skeleton, but how does eating healthy help prevent injury?
Eating healthy, preventing injury. You know, when you eat, I'm going to kind of go back to the whole foods thing as well. So when you're eating whole foods, when you're eating not all the processed stuff, it's giving your body what it needs to work. And so, you know, when we say healthy, it can mean a lot of things. It can mean not getting a cold, not getting the flu, not being injured. So you're giving your body what it needs to, one, your immune system to work so that you can fight off those flu bugs and all the different things that come along. You've got to have your vitamins and minerals, and those come primarily from fruits and vegetables, everything as well, but we got more from fruits and vegetables to give our immune system what it needs to make more of all the little things to help fight all those bugs off. It also helps repair our muscles. Every time you work out, you know, what's the point of working out?
Muscles.
Your muscles. To do what?
To gain them.
To gain them. And how do you gain muscle?
You work them out.
I'm not sure.
We're going in the circle here.
So, yeah. So when you work out, you're actually damaging the muscles, right? I mean, we work out, we damage our muscles. So by giving your body the fuels that it needs, then it's able to repair those muscles, allow them to grow bigger, stronger, whatever you're looking for with that, so that you can go faster and perform the way that you want to perform. So that's really kind of a few main things about how eating well helps you stay healthy.
Sounds good.
Can you tell us about Hawaii?
Hawaii was really great. I last year was a spokesperson for Chocolate Milk and got to go out to the Ironman Championships in Hawaii and for race week. I left before the race, but I was there for race week. And it's amazing because the whole area where the race is held is just completely turns into Race Central. There's pro triathletes walking around. You know, you see them all the time. They're really friendly and good about signing autographs and talking to people. All the vendors are there, so you get to see all the cool gear that's out there. You can go and swim in where the swim start is for the World Championships. During race week, they actually, now normally they have a barge that's like, I want to say like a mile off the coast. And so you can swim to it, you know, I shouldn't say off the coast, but it's really down the coast because you can see it. So you can swim to it and get your morning coffee and stuff and then swim back if you want to do that. But during race week, they bring in another boat, like a tiki boat thing, and you can swim up to it and they hand down espresso shots and stuff. And so one morning I got to go swim and have my espresso and swim back. And it was really a lot of fun. The water there is very, has a lot of salt in it, so you can just sit there and just float without even.
That's what I was gonna ask. Do you have to tread water while you're drinking your espresso,
no,
or you get up on the boat, drink it, and then hop back down?
No, you're literally in the water and you reach up and they hand it down to you. So it's pretty cool, and you drink it and you know, swim back. So it made watching the race really a much more fun experience, because I could say, oh, I remember that coral reef. I remember swimming over that. And as you're swimming along, the water's so clear, you see all the fish, and it's like you're swimming and looking at everything, and it's like, oh, breathe, I gotta breathe, you know. And it was just a great time to be there. I got to be on stage again at the expo with Chris Lieto, who's one of the pro triathletes, talking about chocolate milk. I got to meet a bunch of the pros, which was a lot of fun. And just, you know, heck, it's Kona, Hawaii.
Yeah.
Well, it's, might as well go spend a few days in Kona. So it was really a lot of fun. And being there made watching the race a lot more fun. I ran one morning, and I ran the course to the finish line, and that was really cool to kind of visualize what it would be like, you know, actually finishing, and got to see them build the finish line and the stages. And there's so much more going on than what you see on TV. And so getting a piece of that, a picture of that, was really cool.
So you swam the course, ran across the finish line. Nice.
Yeah, I swam part of the course. I didn't
do
the whole
world champion,
2.4,
right?
But no, I didn't do the bike. Didn't have a bike.
Oh well. And that's exciting. Did you say you went with Memorial Hermann Ironman suit, or was that with Chocolate Milk?
I went both as a representative for Chocolate Milk and as the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute. So representing both.
All right, so Chocolate Milk, I think we're going to forward this to you. We're advertising for you right there. So
exactly.
So we got to send her back to Hawaii whenever it comes back around. So we're plugging Chocolate Milk for
October.
For Dr. Wilson to be on the payroll again. So all right, let's move on from Hawaii, because we're all getting jealous as we're sitting here in 40-degree weather in Houston.
I know.
Can eating raw eggs help you gain muscle weight?
The thing is, you want to eat protein. You need to, one, be sure you're getting enough calories. And then the second thing is, you've got to be sure that you're getting enough protein. And the most protein our bodies really can handle is about a gram per pound of body weight. And you want to spread that throughout the day. So get 20 to 30 grams at each main meal, and then some protein with your snacks as well. Honestly, I'd stay away from raw eggs, because that leaves you with the potential of getting salmonella, which is a kind of food poisoning. And I had salmonella due to raw eggs once. I was making a homemade fudge, and I tasted it, and it was really, really good. And I ended up very, very, very sick because of that. And so, you know, I would stay away from raw eggs totally, unless, you know, they have some that are pasteurized. But I don't know. There are better ways to get your protein than eating raw eggs.
All right. So then on that, do you have just off the top of your head, an average egg, how many grams of protein?
About seven. 7 to 9, I think, depending on the size.
So we talked about eating closer to the earth. Does that, cooking that egg, boiling that egg, frying that egg, whatever it is you do, does it lose some of that protein or nutrients?
No, it doesn't lose it at all. Your body's still able to use it. So yeah, if you're gonna do eggs, cook them up.
Fantastic. That's what I always thought. I was like, man, I don't think that's in any way healthy, but
yeah,
these things keep getting passed down from generation to generation.
Well, and there's still the Rocky out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where he's making his breakfast shake.
Well, I mean, I have a student that said she wanted to go to the military, and she's pretty skinny, and she's like, well, my uncle told me just to eat raw eggs, or, you know, drink raw eggs. I'm like, no, don't do that. So that's why I had to throw that question in there, make sure, and I'll make sure she listens to it later.
Yeah.
So.
What are the eating plans for gaining weight?
Gaining weight is really easy. Gaining lean mass is hard. Is a little more challenging. So either way, you need to eat more calories than you're burning to put on weight. And most of us can do that pretty easily. But if you're trying to gain weight or trying to gain lean mass, you need to eat 500 to 1,000 calories more per day. But the other part of that is you've got to be lifting and lifting weights and, you know, lifting heavy. If a woman's trying to put on some lean mass, it's harder for us, but those little pink weights in the gym ain't going to do it. You've got to lift heavy. So a lot of times it's a partnership between me and Anthony Falzone, our strength and conditioning coach. I'll work with him on the food. He works with him on the weights. And we've had some really good success getting people to put on lean mass. So it's eating more and lifting. And a lot of people, what happens is you go through a period where you put on weight and you're putting on both fat and lean mass, and then you go through a cutting period where you lose the fat. So losing fat and putting on muscle at the same time, hard to do.
Yes, that's what I thought. Usually you have to kind of put on the weight and then you can shave off the fat after you put on the lean muscle.
Yeah.
That's what I've always understood, but so now I have it from a very credible source.
Is chocolate milk really as good as most of the engineered recovery drinks?
Absolutely, it is. Chocolate milk, when you're looking for recovery drinks, there's three or four things you want to look at. The first is, does it have carbs? And chocolate milk has got a really good amount of carbohydrates in it, depending on the one that you choose. Those carbohydrates are there to refill, again, those gas tanks in your muscles. The protein goes along to help repair the damage, and it also seems to help your body absorb the carbohydrates. You also want some fluid, so it helps rehydrate you. And then chocolate milk's got some electrolytes in it too. A lot of people don't realize that, but it does have electrolytes in it as well to help replace what you lost during the workout. So chocolate milk's really a quick and easy recovery drink. It's got the right proportion. We say 3 to 4 grams of carbohydrates for every gram of protein, and it has that. So, yeah, it's really good, and again, it's cheap. I go, it's funny, you know, last year I was a spokesperson for chocolate milk, but I'm allergic to milk, so I can't drink milk. But my husband does, and I go to the grocery store, and I'll get a 15-pack of the shelf-stable chocolate milk, and it's okay. You find it in the juice section. It's fine. And I can get 15 bottles for $12. So what's that, you know, like 80, 90 cents a serving? It's awesome. It's cheap. And, you know, people love drinking it.
What is it called?
Huh? Chocolate milk?
Yeah, but what did you say, the one you buy?
The shelf-stable one? I think it's Nesquik. Oh. It's in the
or is it like
yellow.
Yoohoo? Is Yoohoo
okay,
the same
no,
thing? Or is that
no, it's Yoohoo's not the same thing.
Okay.
So, but the Nesquik ones, it's in the yellow bottle.
Yeah.
Hershey's has some. He doesn't like that. He says it's too sweet.
I think they have a Promised Land one.
Yeah,
is that?
And there's a Horizon Organic.
Horizon, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, so those are all shelf stable, you know, and of course you can also get the ones out of the refrigerated case. If you're lactose intolerant, there is lactose-free chocolate milk out there. And the thing is, you know, as much as I like the shelf stable stuff, I also like to get the things out of the dairy case, because then I'm also supporting my local dairy farmers. And Texas actually has a huge dairy farming industry, so you know, it's kind of nice to support our local dairy farmers too.
All right, so that same student I was talking about, CP, she was planning on going to the military, so her uncle was telling her to eat her all eggs. She's been doing the little Eagle Leap. They have a pretty intense workout thing after school, and so every day she would come in with this some sort of energy drink, excuse me, like a recovery drink, something like that. And she said she paid, I think it was $20 for 4 of them. And so she was drinking like a half of it or something instead of the whole thing. But like $20 for 4 drinks, and you're telling me 90 cents of chocolate milk would do probably better?
Yeah. Yeah, just as good, if not better. You know, and heck, she could have a couple of them depending on how hard she's working out and what she's trying to put on some lean mass. She could have a couple of them and be okay. You know, heck, for under $2, she's doing great.
All right, so I'm going to be talking to a guy from Gatorade in a couple of weeks. We're going to be talking to him. And I know that they brought us, like, the recovery and then the what do they call it? Not the warm-up.
Oh, their pre?
Yeah, the pre.
Did they bring the chews or was it the...
Yeah, well, they brought us like a sample pack of like the chews, the pre's. There was the recovery and then the perform, because they have like a pre, during, and post system kind of thing.
And then they've got multiple levels. They've got the pro, they've got the, you know, kind of going to the gym. They've got a bunch of different stuff out there.
So just to make it simple, go chocolate milk, shelf stable, Nestle kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, it's so much cheaper than that. So, but at the same time, you've got to have stuff that your athletes are going to drink. So you may have some athletes who really like chocolate milk. You may have people who don't like chocolate milk. And so you need to find something else for them. And that's okay. So you can do the other flavored milks as well. But the research has been using chocolate milk. As long as the carb and protein amount is the same, you can use other flavored milks.
All right. I will say we tried that Horizon vanilla milk once. I guess I grabbed it thinking it was like just plain original milk. Vanilla milk is not the same as plain milk. We couldn't finish it because it just, for us, some people may love it, but I couldn't do vanilla milk.
Yeah, it was just probably too sweet.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, that's usually not a problem for my wife. It's something sweet. Maybe it's just the fact that it wasn't milk. I mean,
it wasn't what you were expecting.
Yeah, so.
How can we increase HDL cholesterol?
All right, so this was really my question. I put it in there because we did our biometric screening, and my cholesterol was good, but my HDLs were 36, and they're supposed to be, like, 40 is, below 40 is a warning sign or high risk of heart disease, and then above 60 is good. So, I mean, I'm pretty, if I was at 36 or 39, something like that, I want to know what I can eat. Because I know it says, like, fruits and vegetables and stuff like that, but, I mean, I need to do quite a bit of regular improving, so.
Yeah. A lot of it comes down to physical activity. You know, being sure that you're working out, so maybe starting to get some running in, doing training for that color run, doing a little bit more physical activity can help. Getting your weight down, if your weight is in the unhealthy range, bringing your weight down can help with that, too.
I'm not sure if I'm going to welcome you back, because you told me I need to take old man vitamins. You told me I'm overweight.
Well,
I need to exercise.
No. I said, if your weight. I was like, that's why I'm sitting here going, I don't think losing weight is something necessarily that you need to do. But if somebody did, you know, need to lose weight, losing weight can also increase your HDL. Reducing your saturated fats can help, too. So if you have a lot of saturated fats in your diet, bringing those down, and those typically come from animals. So switching from, you're probably not using lard in your cooking, but if you were using lard, switching to more vegetable-based oils can help with that as well. But you know, it may also be worth looking at your diet, because if you're eating some processed foods, they're really good at sneaking saturated fat in there, and it's really easy to get more than you think you're getting with that. If you smoke, you want to quit smoking. Also, moderating alcohol. I don't know, you know, if you're... Yeah.
About
so,
zero.
Yeah.
That's pretty moderate.
That's pretty moderate there. One of the other things that you can do also, though, is pick foods that are lower glycemic index, so more complex carbohydrates, less simple carbohydrates. That seems to be something else that is starting to show that it can improve your HDL. You might also want to look at taking a fish oil tablet, you know, like a gram, or taking some fish oil, a gram to 2 grams a day can help with that as well. It doesn't necessarily raise your HDL, but it can help lowering your LDL. So one of the things I look at is the ratio of HDL to LDL, so it can improve that as well.
All right. So, yeah, one of the reasons we don't eat fish very often is because, like, if it tastes like fish at all, I can't eat it. Like, it's just... Oh. So, I mean, my wife, she'll buy the frozen tilapia at HEB, and we can do that as long as she cooks it right.
But not a high omega-3 fish. Sorry.
I can't win for losing.
You know, your high omega-3 fishes are things like tunas and salmon, and there's a new one, I'm going blank on the name of it, but it comes off of New Zealand, Australia area.
I can start naming fish, herring, redfish, snapper.
No, it's a barramundi.
Barramundi?
Barramundi.
Barramundi.
And it's fun to say, barramundi.
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 Yeah. I like foods that are fun to say, you know, couscous, barramundi. You know, you can have fun with those. So, yeah, barramundi, you can get it. I know I've seen it at Whole Foods. I don't know if HEB is carrying it yet. But that's also one that's higher in omega-3s. So if you had a couple servings of that a week, that could be covering you too.
So either a fish oil tablet would help, or if I ate tuna. I used to eat tuna a lot in college, but it's like, what about the canned tuna?
Yeah, you know, tuna is one that maybe like one serving a week, just because of the mercury contamination. You have to watch that a little bit now. But, you know, canned tuna can work, or those lunch packs that they have. That's a really nice way to do it as well. If you're going to do it, I'd alternate between the white and the albacore, because the albacore actually is higher in mercury than the white.
All right. So that's good info for me right there.
Tell us about your favorite healthy pizza stuff.
Healthy pizza stuff. Man, I love pizza. So, but I like the real thin crust pizza. If you're trying to have a healthy pizza, the thinner the crust that you can go, the better, because that crust, you know, it's like bread, and so you're just packing a ton of calories in there with that. Choose your sauce. The red sauces are great. Alfredo sauce, not so great, real high in fat. If you get like a pesto or something, again, it's pretty high in fat, so the tomato sauce is the better choice there. If you like cheese, ask them to go light on the cheese. You know, ask them to put half the cheese they normally do. Most people don't miss it, and that's an easy way to save calories and then to cut your saturated fat, is put half the cheese on there. And then healthy stuff, you know, put as many vegetables as you can. It's a good way to kind of hide the veggies in there. And depending on your meat, I usually go for a pepperoni or a Canadian bacon if I'm doing that kind of pizza. So, and then, you know, veggies, lots and lots of veggies. We actually have a place, there's one downtown and there's one in Sugar Land called Bombay Pizza. And so it's like Indian food on a pizza. And the crust is really thin. It's like a sesame cracker crust. And then they put all these crazy toppings on it. And that's my current favorite pizza right now. So we do that once a week.
I went to a Indian food restaurant with my buddy. He's actually from Bombay when I was in college. And I think I was sweating before I bit anything. Everything was just so spicy for me. Like, woo!
Yeah, you gotta watch the places you go to, because some of them will really spice it up. And some of them, you know, are a little bit more realistic for us who aren't used to those kind of spices.
All right, so real quick, we're gonna see what you guys' favorite pizza topping is. But before we do that, Lottie, Susie, do we have anything on any of the social streams or anything like that?
No.
All right, so Susie, why don't you start us off? Favorite pizza topping? Quick.
Pepperoni.
Just straight up pepperoni? Pepperoni cheese. All right.
Pineapples.
Ooh, yes, pineapple.
I'm sorry. Mine is a spinach pizza.
Spinach pizza?
Mm-hmm.
I like the one that has like mushrooms and bell peppers.
So like the supreme? It has like olives and all this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Gotta go with pepperoni.
Pepperoni?
Mine is three meats.
Three meat?
Spinach.
Mm. See, I think I've forgotten about pineapple, because I think that's one of my absolute favorites, is with pineapple on it.
And ham.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I love that one.
Mm-hmm. You get the sweet and the salty going.
But I think if not, then I used to hate, like when I was a kid, when I was your age, I wouldn't have eaten a supreme pizza for anything. I would have picked every single vegetable off of there, but now, I think if it's minus the olives, then I'm gonna eat the supreme, because it's got the onions and bell peppers on there, and they're roasted, and mushrooms, and you know, usually has some sausage or something like that.
But my mom just like, since I was little, she would make me eat anything, so I guess I grew up liking anything except flour tortillas.
Yeah, I like Papa John's. We'll do the banana peppers, so you get the little kind of that zing on there. Those are good.
Maybe I'll have to try that.
Oh. Vegetables.
Is that the thing that comes in the... Do they always come on the side?
No, you have to order them on there, and they're the yellow peppers.
Gotcha.
Not a lot of heat, but they've got kind of that soury. I don't even know how
they're
to describe
good.
It. Yeah.
Like the Pizza Hut one, like the family deal, like the pineapple one, but it comes with a big crust, like really big.
Yeah, I definitely prefer deep dish. It's definitely more flavorful and filling, but we gotta work on lowering the bread intake for no reason. So, all right, well, it is now 11:10, and it is time for me to don't move yet. It is time for these kids to kind of close up and head out. So. Susie, over there on the board, keep the one that says right there on the soundboard. On the soundboard. 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 There you go. Keep the one that says J and then the one that says guest. Leave those on. Turn everything else down.
Which is the guest one?
The one that says guest. So everything else should be down. All right, so you guys real quick tell Dr. Wilson thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys. It was fun being here.
So if you're listening live, watching live, you can see all the kids heading out, cleaning up.
Uh-oh,
Bubba's standing up. I think Bubba's wanting to jump in here.
Uh-oh.
You want me to turn one of the mics on for you, Bubba?
Yeah, let's get Bubba on. Bubba's always so much fun.
If you sit at that blue chair, then you just turn the one that has the B on the board.
She doesn't. That's code for I don't want to say anything on the air.
She's still recovering from last night. I got her. I'm also the dietitian for the Rockets, so I got her a pass, some credentials to go down in the training room with me and hang out with the team and stuff as they were getting ready for the game. And then we get to watch the game courtside.
Ooh.
So we're pretty much back, kind of off in one of the corners behind the team and stuff. So getting to watch the game, it's a completely different perspective the game.
I've been down on the floor, and it's amazing, all those size 15, 17, and 22 shoes in the lane, and nobody sprains an ankle. But
yeah. I mean, I didn't realize how physical it was until I was down there and how much is going on. Yeah, and the shoes, it was so funny. There was one of the insoles or two of the insoles laying around on one of the counters last night, and I held it up to my shoe, and I think, you know, my toes reached like about two-thirds.
Yeah.
Of the way up the shoe.
We could fit your shoe inside their shoe.
Maybe even both of them and some of them, man. But, you know, so she had that fun experience last night. So.
Yeah. And people don't realize how athletic they really are until you can watch them moving and the things they do.
Yeah, and being down there, you really realize how much they're running and how fast they're running. And, you know, when you see it on TV and you've got the whole court in your TV, you're like, oh, they're just kind of jogging back. No, they're sprinting, they're pushing, they're... Like I said, it's a lot more physical. There's a lot more shoving and stuff going on than I ever really thought.
Yeah.
And then you get the guys that are 6'6" that look kind of small. I mean, that's 5 inches taller than me, and they look small on TV next to those 7-foot guys or whatever.
Yeah. And they're fun. They've got a good sense of humor. One of them, who is close to 7 foot, one day goes, hey, high five. I was just like, dude, really? Really?
Yeah, but you didn't ask him how the weather was either, so you know.
No.
I guess it'd be like putting a camera underneath the water for water polo to see how physical it really is, you know, from that side of it, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, then they would have to have a lot more fouls called, because isn't that what they do when you grab on water polo and you grab them underwater, that's a foul or something?
Yeah. They wear multiple swimsuits for that reason, too.
Yeah. I think, wasn't it in the Olympics they had some of the underwater cameras? And I was floored. And I've never been around water polo that much, and my husband was like, yeah, they're just trying to drown each other. And I started watching, I was like, oh my gosh, you're right. They're just really going after each other.
It's organized horseplay as a kid, but you're just, you know.
Man.
Just not a kid.
Dunking each other.
You're a grown man or woman.
Yeah, and the legs, and I mean, you know, just keeping yourself above water is more than half the battle there, and then all the other stuff going on.
Well, I don't know how they do it. The goalies get up to waist level, out, you know, basically out of the water just from mm-hmm. kicking, and it's like, no, thank you.
Yeah.
Give me my float. And
all right, so how is it because of the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute that you got hooked up with the Rockets?
Yes.
And do you go to all their games?
I try to go to at least one game homestand. When they're here, and then, well, it goes a couple different ways. I try and go to the game and pregame to be sure that the food that they're served pregame is okay. So, you know, that I get paid to go eat, and to check in with the players and be sure that they're doing okay before the game, and I also try and go during the day on not a game day, so that around lunchtime again, so I can check on the food that's being served in the stadium, be sure it's okay, and then also just touch base with them about any kind of issues they have. I also work real closely with the trainers, so if somebody's starting to drop weight, if somebody's having, you know, low energy things, they, you know, pinpoint who specifically I need to talk to. I catch up with those guys, and then I kind of hang out for, you know, just kind of other random questions that they may have. And then I also, through Memorial Hermann, I also get to work with the Sugarland Skeeters, the minor league ball team.
They have great eating habits, too.
They do. Eating and adult beverage consumption. So they'll start up again in April, and so I try and go out and visit with them at least once a homestand as well.
Wow, I didn't... I mean, obviously, I knew you went to the Ironman Triathlon World Championships or whatever in Hawaii, but I didn't know you did stuff for the Rockets and stuff for the Skeeters, and that's quite a big job there.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. As Jessica's finding out, it's like no 2 days are the same, and, you know, I have a really cool job, and I love it, so I'm really fortunate to be able to do what I do, and even just my regular clients, everybody gets all starry-eyed when I start, you know, when I mention the pros. But when it comes down to it, they're just real people, and, you know, they're just people. And but, you know, my everyday athletes and folks that I see in my practice, in my office, are tend to be just as much fun as those guys.
All right. Hey, real quick, you know, I told you I got my biometric screening back, and I had my HDLs were high, so me and Bill were looking it up so we can kind of find out some of the stuff I could do right away to help change that. And one of the websites that came up, she was talking about she was a certified nutritionist. Certified? Is there? I know last time we talked about this, but is there a certificate, like a national certification program?
There's not a national certification program for nutritionists. So I could start a school and call it the Penny Wilson Nutrition School, and I could issue, you know, you are now a certified nutritionist from the Penny Wilson School, you know, and you could pay me $50 and I could give you an hour online class and give you your certificate. So, you know, some nutritionists are more knowledgeable than others. You know, heck, there are some nutritionists out there who've been doing this years and years and can put me in the dust because they've been doing it for so long. But those are few and far between. So, you know, you've really got to know who you're talking to and what their experience is, what their education level is.
So I would, again, like to reiterate, if you are looking for nutrition, dietary advice, then if possible, seek the advice of a registered dietitian, because they have to go through board-certified national tests and courses, and you have to continue to get, like, CEUs.
You've got to continue to get CEUs. You know, to even be able to sit for the exam, you've got to get basically an undergraduate in nutrition. Then you go through an internship that's 1,200 hours of supervised practice. And then once you successfully complete the internship, then you get to sit for the exam. So after you sat for the exam and passed, then you can call yourself a dietitian. So, yeah, I mean, if you're looking for nutrition help, you know, look for a nutritionist I can't believe I just said that. Look for a dietitian.
No editing. We're not deleting that.
Yeah. if you're looking for nutrition advice, look for a dietitian, because we do have a lot of background in it. And that's why I can talk about the metabolic processes and those kind of things, because, and how all the vitamins and minerals play into it. Cause I had to take in science, you know, chemistry and biology all the way up through biochem. And that's a lot of coursework, and that's a lot of time. So, you know, a lot of times people who don't have those backgrounds don't really understand the details into why you need to eat the way you need to eat and why different things are important.
All right.
As I've encroached here now on this podcast, I kind of have two questions for you, and one of them will be a little bit multiple questions. I'm going to ask them both. You've talked about, we've all heard it's important to eat breakfast, and we need to have a good, healthy lunch, and eating close to the ground, or however you want to look at that. But can you lump all this into one kind of brief talk here and just say, All right. Is eating, in essence, is eating smaller, more frequent meals the way to go? So a small breakfast, a snack, a small lunch, a snack, a good dinner, maybe a snack before you go to sleep. Is that a good way to operate nutritionally?
To me, it really depends on your body's hunger signals. So if you're hungry a lot, and a lot of athletes are, then yeah, have snacks.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of my athletes, I'll put a bedtime snack in. But if somebody's trying to lose weight, that may not be such a good idea.
Right.
If you're going to do three meals and a couple snacks, the thing is you've just got to be sure that you're bringing your meal sizes down to make calorie space for those for your snacks that you're going to have.
Yeah, not three meals and two snacks and they're all meals and you're in trouble then. But.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, me, I tend to have breakfast, a snack, lunch, maybe two snacks, depending on when I'm eating dinner. And I may have a snack before I go to bed, and it depends on how I'm working out as to how much I'm going to eat.
All right. And, of course, I forgot my second question now that I was going to ask off that. I should have just rolled with it when it was going, but it'll hit me in a minute.
All right. So real quick, as part of the CEU evaluation I have on there to make sure that they kind of listen, is where was your hometown or your current city? So obviously your current city is Houston, but just in case somebody can't figure out what your current city is, where are you from?
I actually live in Sugar Land and I work in Houston.
All right, so there you go. So if you listened all the way through for the CEU evaluation, that's what you can put in for that answer. All right, Bubba, did you figure it out yet?
Well, no, but I've got one that'll work. So with that in mind, and even if it doesn't work, I'm asking it. With that in mind, you know, they talk about this diet for this ailment. There is no panacea, I guess, for everything. You know, the eight-hour diet, all those things you see. I know they're fads, and there is some validity to low glycemic meals, and there is some validity to a paleo type diet, but in essence, aren't they similar? You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's really a one diet fits all, and that's low fat, higher protein than what we get, less carbs than what we usually consume, and burn some of that, which is, you know, my grandparents used to eat lunch at about 10:30 in the morning, but they were working in the garden in the fields. They'd already burned bacon and eggs breakfast that was high, quote unquote, high in fat. That was supposed to be bad for you. They'd already burned that off.
Yeah. Well, they were probably up at 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
And went to bed at like 8:30. You know, they were up at the light and asleep when it was dark.
Exactly. Yeah. The thing really is, you know, most of us don't have a hard time getting enough protein. Most of us get, you know, plenty of protein, so it's not like we have to go out and start eating a lot more. And the fat, you know, depending on your fat sources, if you're eating nuts, I'm okay with going up to 30% and maybe even just a little more if you're including nuts and olive oil and those kind of things in your diet. The thing that where I think we in general have a problem is with starches. So we talk about carbs, and I really wish we could break it into two families, starches and non-starches. And your starches are your breads, your pastas, your rice. The thing everybody loves. Potatoes, sweet potatoes, corn and peas are considered starches. And if you look around, our society has gotten so starch-based because it's cheap to provide. So if you can bring your starches down and your non-starchy fruits and vegetables up, and non-starchy vegetables are all your veggies really, except potatoes, sweet potatoes, peas, and corn. Now, beans and legumes, depending on how you're using them, but that's a different topic. You know, bring those up. That is a good way to eat. If you want to look at your plate for lunch and dinner, half of it should be fruits and non-starchy vegetables. A quarter of it should be your protein, and a quarter of it should be your starch. But you know, if you look at what most people are eating, there's half starch, half protein. Well, you know, not necessarily the best way to eat.
Right.
And even if you're not diabetic or not insulin resistant, I'm finding a lot of people seem to still have problems. Their bodies just don't process the starches really well. They don't go into the muscles. They end up getting stored as fat. So if we can bring the starches down, bring the non-starchy fruits and vegetables up, you lose weight.
Right. So earlier you talked about a gram of protein to pound of body weight. So, all right, I'm simplistic. I don't know what a gram size is. So a lot of people will talk about a deck of cards. A deck of cards for me is not going to be nearly enough protein. So my visualization is my hand. not the palm of my hand, my entire hand. Is that a good way to look at that?
I would actually say the inside of the palm of your hand about an inch high. So my hand's smaller than your hand.
So talking just here?
Yeah, just kind of here.
I just kind of look at it and go, that's a chicken breast. So that works.
Well,
you know?
Well, you know, the full palm for you is probably an 8-ounce chicken breast. Eh, that might be a little much. I'd probably go down to 5 to 6 ounces. So.
And then the other is on your starch, your carb is it's a cup or the size of your fist. So a baked potato, the normal baked potato would be the size of my fist, not the one you get at the restaurant that's 3 of those.
Yeah, yeah. Or a lot of times I'll actually go smaller. I'll go down to a half cup, you know, a third to a half cup.
So is the trick with doing that, is it more vegetables to try to fill you up then with the fiber?
Yeah.
To get that sense of being satisfied from eating as opposed to, you know, oh, I need a bag of chips now?
Exactly. More vegetables and more fruit. And the fiber, it's really the interrelationship, that play between the protein, carbs, and the fat that makes your body satisfied. Now, getting your head satisfied is a completely different matter.
Right.
So, you know, you may eat that and be full, but yet you still want some chocolate or you still want some chips. That's your head. That's not your stomach and your body.
And you don't deal with that part of it, so yeah.
I do some, but, you know, yeah. That's
a different doctor.
You got to watch, so yeah. But it's really learning to eat when your body's hungry, not when your head's hungry.
Yeah. I guess in essence, we eat like we've always eaten for years. We just don't work like we've always worked or worked in the past.
Yeah, that's a lot of it as well. And, you know, portion sizes have gotten larger. Our plates are larger.
Right.
You know, these are things you can go out and pull my grandmother's china, and it's, you know, not much larger than the salad plates that
yeah.
we have now. So there are a lot of things that really are playing into it. But back to that eating closer to the ground, the food companies really engineer their foods to make us to eat more. And, you know, they make money. The more that we eat, the more that we buy their products, they make more money. So
right.
by putting fat, sugar, and salt in things, it physically drives us to eat more. It turns on things in our body that makes us want to eat more of them. And so, you know, there's salt in things there shouldn't be, that you wouldn't think there would be salt. There's salt in Cheerios. Why is there salt in Cheerios? You know, because that helps turn on those receptors to get us to eat, to drive to eat more. So there's sugar in things you don't think there should be sugar in. Why? To help turn those receptors on. You may not even taste it. A lot of times you don't even taste it, but it's there and it drives you to eat more of it.
Sneaky.
Completely unrelated, but I remember in like third grade, maybe it was earlier, sometime in elementary school, they smashed up like a bowl full of Cheerios and took a magnet and it like pulled the iron out or something like that.
I've never heard that one.
I don't know where you're getting your Cheerios.
Man, I remember seeing something like that. Maybe I...
You dreamed that.
You know, I tell my wife I can't remember anything before the age of 12, and maybe I did just dream it. Maybe I made it up, but...
I don't know. It sounds like something you should Google and see.
it's on there somewhere. Or YouTube it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. You could find it.
Because I thought they were demonstrating the iron that was inside of the cereal. Maybe it wasn't Cheerios, or maybe it was Frosted Flakes or something, or Oat Bran, or who knows. Huh. But
it's Captain Crunch.
Never heard of that, huh?
No, never heard of that.
Hmm. All right.
So now, you know, that's eating stuff for regular people. Eating for athletes and is a different ballgame, because just trying to get them, a lot of times it's just trying to get enough calories in them. If you've got somebody who needs 5, 7, 9,000 plus calories a day, you know.
Sometimes I
do turn to the junk food kind of stuff because I just need them to eat.
Well, something like between classes, going from point A to point B, peanut butter crackers, good thing to do, something
yeah.
like that. Just because it's quick, it's easy. You can finish the last one as you're walking into class, and nobody's the wiser, I guess. But
yeah, the peanut butter crackers can be you know, a nice choice to do. You can use those Uncrustables, those frozen peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Those can be a really great snack because you can throw them in your bag when it's frozen and it'll be thawed by the time, you know, you're ready to eat them. So you can also do like a whole wheat tortilla with a banana and some peanut butter, roll it up and put it in your bag and go, and you can, that's portable.
What about like a trail mix?
Trail mixes and granolas are really great because, again, they've got that protein, carbs, and fat mixed together, but you've got to watch the serving size. I mean, that's like a quarter cup.
Right.
To a half cup? A cup. A quarter cup to
which
a half
is,
cup.
Which is nothing.
Is that like less than a handful? Like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
That'd be like half of
that's
your
what I have trail mix in there. I was like, yeah, I'm going to eat a healthy snack.
That's why she said you need an old man vitamin and all that today. Just saying. Yeah.
Yeah. It's they can be great, but just like anything, you've got to watch the serving sizes. Same thing with nuts. People hear, oh, well, nuts are so healthy. Well, yeah, they are, but that doesn't mean that it's a free-for-all on nuts. It's still a quarter to a half cup, maybe. Actually, it's really about a quarter cup for nuts because they've got so much fat in them. It's just it's a lot of calories in a real small space.
There's been a pattern, though, of not just if you, but if you look at stuff, nuts, peanut butter. I guess grandma wasn't so crazy to eat a peanut butter sandwich. I mean, there's some, you know, how did they know back in the day with no education and no science background, this is good? You know,
Before you answer that, my wife was thinking about making our own peanut butter instead of buying like Jif. So kind of on the same
note.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah, go for it?
Absolutely.
All right. So, baby, if you're still listening, she said go for it.
Yeah, you put a cup of nuts in the food processor and let it run. If you like it smooth, just let it go. It'll reach this point where it turns into this really weird consistency thing, and you think, this just isn't going to work. And every time I do it, it hits that point, and I'm like, man, this just isn't going to work. Just let it go, and it's like the nuts release the oil, and they turn into this great creamy thing. Now, the thing is, if you're used to Jif or Skippy or something like that, guess what's in there? Sugar.
Mm.
So it's going to take you a little while to get used to the taste of the natural, but I've been eating the natural stuff now for so long, when I go back and get the other stuff, I'm like, man, this is sweet. So, but yeah, I mean, if you can make it at home, it's great. And then just keep it in the fridge.
And I'll worry about you if you start growing peanuts in your backyard to make it too. That'd be a little
I already
bit...
told her we were talking about composting, so we're going to be growing fruits and vegetables.
Well,
so
that's fine. But if you're growing peanuts, that's a bit over the top there for your, so.
Yeah. You can do it with all the nuts, almonds, cashews, you know, hazelnuts. Now, hazelnuts, you want to toast them first and get that outer casing off and do that. And then, you know, if you really wanted to do something kind of fun and different, is while you're making your nut butter, you could throw some dark chocolate chips in there, and so you could get dark chocolate peanut butter, which is really good. Now, you are
kinda
adding
like having
a little
Nutella at that point.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I've gotten to where I like homemade Nutella or the homemade hazelnut butter with chocolate in it, or there's a brand called Justin's. And I think H-E-B carries it. I know you can get it at Whole Foods, but all it really is dark chocolate chips with hazelnuts versus the Nutella that's got the milk and everything in it. I had some Nutella recently, and it was like, man, give me my Justin's back, because it's more nutty and less sweet.
So one of our coworkers here in the district, as a fundraiser, they sell peanut butter jelly sandwiches to their athletes. Good idea?
Yeah. Yeah,
does it matter if they use white bread, wheat bread, just as long as they're giving them something?
As long as they're giving them something. At this point, you know, if we can just get most of our kids, if we can just get them to eat decent stuff, I'm happy with that. Most kids don't like the whole wheat. If they could use a white wheat, there's 100% white wheat, which is a different kind of wheat. So it's considered whole wheat, but it tastes like white bread. So you can kind of trick the kids into getting more of a whole grain that way. If they could do that, that'd be cool. Now, you know, that's a little more expensive than just your regular white bread,
right?
But that would definitely be one way to do it.
I finally remember my other question, and I'd sent it to you earlier.
I knew you would. Go ahead.
Yeah,
before you forget
I'm slow like that. But we talk about eating and eating and eating. What we really didn't have the chance to touch on, though, is how detrimental, not from a performance standpoint, but almost from a body function composition standpoint, not eating is.
Mm-hmm.
You don't lose weight by not eating. And I think there's still that misnomer out there by a lot of people, similar to a lot of other things that we deal with in the athletic training world. Well, I'm just going to starve myself, I'll lose weight. I'll drop fat. It doesn't happen that way. So can you just touch on that?
Yeah. Particularly if you're an athlete and you're trying to lose weight, you still have to be sure that you're eating enough in order to do what your body's asking to do and just take a few of the calories out. You know, 500 calories, 250, 500 calories is a good amount, because your body still has to work and it still has to live. If you go lower than that, a couple different things are going to happen. your metabolic rate will start slowing down. So we have, you know, a resting metabolic rate or a basal metabolic rate, and that's the number of calories our body needs just to live. And if you eat under that, your body's going to start slowing down. You can think of it like a thermostat. It just turns the temperature down. Or your car, it just starts slowing down when it gets low on gas because you're not giving your body what it needs to work. And then sometimes you'll actually start putting on some fat. Because if you...
It's a survival mode type.
It's a survival mode. It's like, you're starving me. You're not giving me what I asked, you know, what I need to do what I'm doing. So when you overeat, it's going to store it as fat. The other thing that can happen a lot of times too, is you start eating into your muscle. So your body can take away muscle and start using that, turn that into carbohydrates and use it as energy. And, you know, if you think about it, we got a lot of muscle in our bodies, and it's not, your body isn't real selective when it's looking for that. It's not like, oh, you know, she's got big quads, I'm going to go after her quads, or, oh, I'm going to take it from her butt or whatever. You know, your heart's a muscle too.
It usually does the opposite.
Yeah, it goes from other places. So it's a real delicate balance there. You've got to be sure that you're eating enough to keep your metabolic rate up, but take a little bit off in order to lose weight.
So in the grand scheme of things, on a non-athlete like Jeremy, how much benefit is there from we drop a few calories a day and we walk? How much benefit is there? You know, I'm not saying, oh, it's going to do X, Y, and Z, but I mean, is that a significant benefit to everything? So you don't have to go crazy and do the insanity workout of the P90X or start training for a triathlon. If I drop 250 calories a day in, you know, and started walking 30 minutes, huge benefit in trying to look better, feel better.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's say, you know, if you drop 250 calories, so what does that look like? Well, that's, you know, leaving a few bites on your plate at each meal and maybe not having that mid-morning snack or whatever. That's easy way to do it. And then going out and walking, if you walk a mile and a half, 2 miles, say 100 calories a mile, you bring down your calories by 250, and then you go get another 200 through walking or, you know, a brisk walk, that's 450 calories. That's almost a pound a week that I'd expect your weight to come down.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase another question, but it doesn't matter.
All right, so we talked real quick about the peanut butter. Is it more expensive to make your own?
No.
It's cheaper to...
It's about the same.
About the same.
You just
got to
shell the peanuts, you know.
You know,
get something for your kid to do.
Yeah.
When you do that, do you buy the shelled or do you buy the Planters shelled peanuts?
I actually buy them from the bulk section because I think they're cheaper from the bulk section. So I get the roasted unsalted because I don't want the extra salt. If I want salt in my peanut butter, I'm going to salt it to the saltiness that I want, not what somebody else thinks I want. So same thing with the chocolate. I make it as chocolatey or as unchocolatey as I want by making it myself. So by doing that, you're really taking control over what you're putting in your food and what you're putting in your body and putting in your family's body.
And then what was that fish you said from Australia?
Barramundi.
Barramundi.
I had it grilled on a cruise. And it was phenomenal. But I didn't realize it was from there. Yeah.
It's a white fish. So that's one of the things. A lot of people don't like salmon. They don't like tuna because it's the real fishy, which is what you said that you didn't like. And the barramundi isn't fishy, but yet it's a nice, it's a thicker white.
It's a hearty kind of fish.
Kind of fish, yeah.
So that was the question in the chat room, is that they making those decisions when you have a budget. Obviously, if you're going to the Rockets practice or games every day, you know, you're living the high life. You can eat whatever you want, but you know, us peasants down here, old men, non-athletes, according to Bubba. But
you're taking the silver vitamins. I'm just saying.
Hey, this is my registered dietitian's advice.
That's right. I told him to take the silver vitamins, so because they don't have the iron in them. Guys don't necessarily need the iron that's in there, and. That's absolutely true, is you really do have to look at your budget and figure out what you can fit in there. And that's where, well, you know, maybe I can't do the barramundi. Maybe I can swing it once a month or once every other month, but I can do the tuna once a week, and that works. Because the fish oil, the fish oil is can tend to be one of the, to get a good one, it can tend to be one of the more expensive supplements. So if you could eat, you know, one albacore and one chunk light, you know, white chunk light tuna per week, you might be covering your, you know, you'd at least be getting more than you are now. So you'd be covering your bases that way.
What about, like, I like shrimp. I can eat a lot of shrimp or scallops, so those don't get it?
No.
Of course. Of course.
Sorry.
But it's you know, it's coming from the water, so that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And then when you wrap it in bacon? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
that brings the saturated fat down that we were talking about.
Yeah. Pork fat's always a good thing, right? It's.
Oh, man.
But you talked about the vitamins. You could spend a paycheck on quote-unquote supplementation, depending on what you read, what you see, what you're told. What's essential for the average American that they really need to, in theory, we'd get it in our diet, but we know we're not. So what's essential? The Centrum Silver, you know, taking that, and official, because officials do get expensive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you're doing the tuna, are you going to be, you know, how much are we missing out on is what I'm getting at, if that makes sense.
If I had to pick between the two, a multivitamin or the fish oil, honestly, I'd probably go for the fish oil.
Okay.
First, because most people don't eat the fatty fish.
Right.
So get the fish oil. The research on the multivitamins, you know, some are saying we need it, some are saying we don't need it. If you're somebody who's not an athlete, who's not, you know, working out a lot, super active kind of person, and you've got a pretty solid diet, and you're really watching your budget, I'd let the multivitamin go, but I'd look at getting a good fish oil.
Okay.
And you can, you know, you can go into Vitamin Shop, or you can go into a lot of the stores and the grocery stores, and they're really expensive. And if you search online, a lot of times you can find them less expensive online through Amazon or some things like that.
Now, without getting into a political debate here, is there ever going to be a time where the FDA is certifying or whatever supplements and vitamins and minerals, so you're not just getting a bunch of illegal junk in your body? I mean, there's always recommendations, but yeah, a recommendation is a recommendation.
I went to the Office of Dietary Supplements, which is part of the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, has a research practicum every year, and I got to go a few years ago. And Jesse Helms talked to us, who he's the, you know, big senator from Utah, and Utah is actually the state that produces the most dietary supplements. And he's the one of the guys who sponsored the DSHEA Act, the Dietary Supplement Health and Education Act. And that's what put at least what minor regulations we have around dietary supplements in place now. And then after he spoke, one of the librarians from the Library of Congress spoke, and one of the things that she said was that whenever dietary supplement regulation is brought up, Congress receives more letters about that than any other topic.
Really?
Because the dietary supplement industry starts...
Their lobbyists get after
people,
it.
Not just the lobbyists, but they start putting all this stuff out about, oh, Congress is going to take away your right to buy supplements and blah, 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 blah. And I've had some really heated discussions with some people, and I'm like, I'm fine if you want to buy your dietary supplements, but I want to know what's in it, and I want to know that it's pure, and I want to know what is in it in what amounts, because right now they can say, oh, it's a proprietary blend, which is where the pixie dusting comes in. So they don't have to tell you the amount of everything that's in there. It's like, I'm okay if you want to buy dietary supplements, but you have to prove to me what's in it, in what amount, and then it's not contaminated.
Well, and you look at, and since I don't pay attention to this much anymore, I can't throw anybody under the bus name-wise, but if you look at some of the protein powders, they've got more carbohydrates in them than they do proteins per serving. It's not a protein powder, it's a carbohydrate powder.
Yeah. And,
it's a sugar.
Exactly. But people see, oh, it's a protein powder, so they think they're doing the protein thing. And unfortunately, protein powders are one of those things that can be contaminated. And even bodybuilding.com accepted a plea deal last year that some of their supplements were contaminated. And if it's something you're really interested in, the FDA has got some newsletters that you can subscribe to get updates on things that have come up that have been contaminated. But a lot of the things that are contaminated are, you know, the diet supplements, build supplements, the ones for sexual enhancement, those are the ones that, that tend to be more contaminated. But still, you've got to watch the creatines and the protein powders and all that kind of stuff.
Is there a place for creatine in a high school athlete's, you know, medicine cabinet or however you want to look at it?
I think we talked about this last time. I know we talked about creatine.
Yeah, we did a little bit. You know, the thing is, creatine works if you're a responder. So people, you have people who respond to it and people don't respond to it.
Right.
So it can help. If I've got a high school athlete who's really trying to make a run to college and go to, you know, like a big D1 school, and they've got the competition and it fits into their stuff, we may try it if it makes sense. But I'm also looking at the websites NSF for Sport and Informed Choice and getting them one that's been tested pure.
Right.
And then we're going through the loading protocol and doing it right.
Okay, but that's my follow-up question to that. Is they're going to go to Moore's Law? Well, if this amount is good, well, Moore has got to be better. Is it detrimental to them at some point if we overtake it?
I'm not sure if you can overdose on creatine. That's something, honestly, I haven't looked into. But, you know, it's one of those that if you're taking it, you want to be sure you're staying hydrated because your body needs more water.
Right.
Because it's going to store more water in the muscles. You're going to gain weight because of that alone. But I would. There's some loading protocols out there on the web that you can find that if you're a responder, they work. They really do work.
But we can always go back to PB&J to gain weight.
Yeah, you can go back to PB&J, and I mean, meat has creatine.
Right.
So typically, if you're a meat eater, you're getting what you need.
Right.
So, yeah.
So you don't have to break the bank to gain 10 more by buying supplements. You can get what you need out of a good diet if you're, you know, but I guess a lot of them just like, oh, I take this and it's great. But
yeah, and there's the whole, thing around what supplements are taking and, you know, the head games comparing what you're taking with other people, and you get coaches and trainers and different things. Now, I'm not saying any of the Memorial Hermann trainers or anything like that, but I've seen coaches and trainers and stuff pushing stuff, and it's like, that's not what you need to do. And particularly for our kids under 18, you know, even you start seeing it nowadays, you know, junior high, and it's even creeping down to elementary kind of stuff. It's like, no, these kids need to grow. They really need to grow.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that first kid that said, when they, what's your supplementation program? Chocolate milk, Wonder Bread, and Jif.
Yeah.
There you go.
That'd be
you just
awesome.
Made it simple for everybody.
They'd be putting that guy on TV. He'd be in commercials in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
That's you, Bubba.
Look at this body, man. Yeah, I look like, no, never mind. I don't want anybody hearing it to call me out on it later.
No, we love Bubba.
All right, well, I had originally said that this was going to be over by 11:10. It's now
11:50.
Yeah, I got to scoot.
So I don't want to keep you and abuse the privilege of having here. It has absolutely been a great conversation, and I'm sure that maybe next year or, you know, some other time we can get you coming again, because it seems like the questions just keep coming and coming, and especially if we have Bubba here, then we can always come up with questions.
Absolutely.
Bubba's a great a fill-in co-host there, so I really appreciate all of y'all coming. And again, I want to say thank you for extending the confidence in me to bring your intern to this, because, I mean, it means that you're not just, oh, yeah, let me go and visit this high school kid, but no, like, this is something, you know, I would like to show somebody, so.
Yeah, this is really cool. You guys have done a great job, and it's such a good way to get information out to, you know, everybody. So not just the athletes, not just this high school, but to really get it out there. So you guys, you've done a fabulous job. And every time I come, it just gets better and better. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. So any closing comments, Dr. Wilson?
Whenever you eat, whenever you're going to put something in your mouth, ask how close to the ground is it?
Close to the ground. All right, so, and then maybe next time we'll report back on our homemade peanut butter.
Yeah. It's how close to the ground is it when it was harvested, not when you're sitting there with it at that point.
Right, exactly. And let's check back with the kids and see if they're improving their breakfast.
sunshine. We want to take any bets on that one?
No.
Yeah, but we're gonna try. At least they heard, and I mean, you know, they're hearing it. Maybe it was seven times becomes a habit or something like that.
Yeah.
Or it comes a memory or
gotta
something.
Tell them over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, without any further ado, I'm gonna close it out. Of course, Pasadena ISD Education Foundation has given us the grants for all this cool equipment. Couple different grants that I've written, donors choose also, and so without that we couldn't have this podcast and have wonderful guests like Dr. Wilson or Bubba coming from Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute, and then GHETS also sponsoring our CEU opportunity to make this even more worth your while. I know you hope you would have learned a lot just by listening, but now if you're an athletic trainer, you can get continuing education credits for listening and participating. If you want to check out more information from us, www.pasadenaisd.org/phs/athletic-training. And then there's pretty much everything there just about every Wednesday. If it's not for testing or some other special situation, we'll have a podcast, different guests. Twitter is at PHS Sports Med. Google Plus is PHS Athletic Training. Facebook.com/PHS Athletic Training. Office phone, nobody's going to call that. No, I don't know the password for the voicemail, so I'll leave that alone. There's the app if you want to download that to listen to the podcast easily. And then Dr. Penny Wilson is EAT, the number 4, performance on Twitter. So it's at EAT4Performance on Twitter to follow Dr. Wilson because she's probably got better stuff to say than I do. So for
140 characters or less.
That's right.
So there you go, your little daily tidbit of nutritional dietary wisdom. So, all right, so for Jeremy, the sports medicine class, Bubba, Dr. Wilson, Jessica, that's a wrap.